Okay, so let us invite the Holy Spirit today into the conversation. Let us invite the presence of Christ today. You know, we have to remember the words of Christ, and some words are very interesting in the Bible. It says, I of myself can do nothing. But the Father within me, He does all the works. And Goldsmith uses it a lot. I of myself can do nothing. And that is the fundamental error that happens for all of us whenever we are in a tricky situation, is that we start trying to fix it. We get desperate, we get logical, we get, you know, we start analyzing. And that is the moment when we have to say, okay, there's nothing I can do here. I have no power. I, as in the body, mind, sharing, has no power here. I have to call the other aspect of myself, the higher aspect of myself, or call in the divine for assistance and surrender to the divine and then see what wants to happen.
Yes, it is.
I of myself can do nothing. But this is quickly forgotten, and then we get into a fight, and that fight goes on in our head. What you're doing in your head is actually fighting with the situation.
Yes.
Right? Because you think that you have a solution. We all feel, no, that if I think long enough, maybe I'll find a solution.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'd spoken like that, maybe if I'd said like this.
Yes.
Maybe if I behave differently. So, it all comes back to I could have changed it. But now we have to work differently. We have to just invoke the presence. Tell me what you get.
So, like what you said, it's forgotten, and the focus is completely on Sharon. I have to fix the situation, and I have to also fix the situation in my head. So there is so much repeating of the incidences and the discussions in the head only. मतलब वो एपिसोड शायद एक ही बार हो रहा होगा बाहर, but मेरे माइंड के अंदर उसके 10 different scenarios बन जाते हैं. I could have told this way, I could have told that way, I could have emoted like this. So there are like so many things.
Yeah. And this is all in the absence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's in the absence of Christ consciousness, which means we've forgotten the Christ consciousness completely. So when you've forgotten the Christ consciousness, you're on the other side of the spectrum, which is the full ego spectrum. You're just playing completely with the ego. The angry ego, the hurt ego, the confused ego, but it is full ego. And the ego cannot solve anything. It just goes around in circles like a dog chasing its tail. Yeah. So the biggest remembrance for us, you know, is always to bring in the higher presence, to invoke the presence. So it's an act of surrender, actually. You see, just now when we invoked the presence, we were doing it as a surrender. it's not as a, there's no fighting left here. Are you sensing what I'm saying?
Yes, it is. I can sense it within. From the time you have kind of invoked, I am feeling quiet.
Yeah. We invoke the presence and we realize and we remember that it is this presence which does all the magic. People think, you know, GD does this, GD does, GD doesn't do anything, GD is an empty box, what can he do? But this presence that is there, whenever it is remembered, whenever it is invoked, whenever we are in tune with that, this presence does all the magic.
Yes.
But the challenge is, you can say it is so simple. The challenge is only just remembering that.
Yes.
Don't do anything without the presence. It's so simple. And this presence, you know, it's a harmonizing force in itself. So it's not like you even have to tell this presence, ke, oh, I'm suffering, and oh, this person is cheating me, and I'm in such a bad state. No, you don't have to tell it anything else. You just have to call it, you have to remember it, and awaken it. Awaken it is the right word. You just have to awaken it. It's already there, you just awaken it. You bring it into focus. And immediately it starts harmonizing. So the remembrance of God's presence is itself a harmonizing factor. You don't even have to tell the problems. Because when this presence comes, it just quietens everything. It starts quietening everything. It brings you back to sanity. And the ego is like kind of dissolved in.
Yeah.
Or it goes into the background, it kind of fades. What you're getting?
It's a very important pointer for me that the remembrance itself is not remembered. Almost like, you know, you don't, there are situations where you don't even want to remember. You're so taken over.
Yeah.
And interesting, I was telling something similar to Dean yesterday night that whenever I get caught up like this, it's almost like I'm undervaluing, you know, GD's presence or God's presence in my life. Almost like I have undervalued them, you know.
How?
Because, like, what you were saying is that from so many calls you've been trying to make us understand, you know, this is nothing, do forgiveness, get over with it. But when I'm so charged up, you know, all the traits related to the ego take over, at least mentally. तो वो क्षण में ऐसे लगता है कि हमने जीडी को अंडरवैल्यू किया है और हिज टीचिंग्स आर अंडरवैल्यूड और लाइक व्हाट यू सेड द प्रेजेंस इटसेल्फ इज डिसमिस्ड
इन माय परसेप्शन इन वो क्षण में यू हैव चोजन सफरिंग
यस दैट्स
ऑल यू डन व्हेनेवर यू ट्राई टू डू थिंग्स विदाउट द प्रेजेंस यू विल सफर
यस इट इज
It's so obvious.
Yes, it is.
The ego doesn't know what to do. It just rotates in the same circle and it sees different scenarios and thinks this is better, that is better. Next time I should do this. Next time I should do that. And next time again it will make the same mistake. Again it will think dream 10 scenarios. So the ego is not equipped to deal with this. It doesn't know what to do here.
Yeah.
But instead of acknowledging that I don't know what to do, and just being in surrender and being in humility, the ego says, no, we'll try harder. We'll move the mind faster. It creates 10 projections and 10 scenarios.
Yeah.
But it is so obvious to you, the ego cannot do anything here.
Yes, it is. I can feel the difference. It's pretty startling because when I was using all the ego thing to fix it, I was not able to do it. But right now, I'm just feeling quiet. That's it.
That's it. And we didn't do anything else.
Yes.
We just called the presence. And we're surrendering to the presence and we're allowing the presence to harmonize the situation. So fundamentally, these were the teachings of Joel Goldsmith. Like, that's the first time I heard of them about 5 years ago. Where he refused to use any kind of processes to solve anything. The only, I don't want to get much into his work right now. Tell me what's coming up, what's in your mind?
So I'm just saying that how even my body has quietened down. It's not just the change in the mind level, but the body is also relaxed as you're talking.
Yeah. Because you have invoked the most powerful force in the universe. What is more powerful than the presence of God? Can anyone or anything in manifestation match that power? Who can stand up to that?
Wow, what a question.
See, we keep saying that this is a dream, right? It's a kind of illusion, which is a kind of hallucination.
Yes.
Right? So, there is God and there is all this hallucination. All bodies, minds, situations, they're all kind of hallucinations. It's like a dream that's happening. So who do you think is more powerful, God or the hallucination?
God.
Yeah. So when there is trouble, who do you go to? Where do you go? Isn't that obvious?
Yes.
Yeah. So when we are insane, we try to fight the hallucination with more hallucination.
Yeah.
When we become sane, we say to ourselves, oh my God, this is not real. This doesn't mean anything. This is hallucination. Let me come back to reality. Let me invoke the reality again. So we kind of step back. So real healing is a very simple sense of stepping back. We kind of step back from the hallucination and rest in God. And then God is allowed to harmonize everything. You don't do it. You can't do it. You are part of the problem. What's happening?
I'm just saying, stay quiet right now. That I just want your words to keep going. I kind of don't want to talk on you.
This is the easiest and also the toughest technique.
Yeah.
When you are in tune with it, you'll find, oh my God, this is so easy and so beautiful. Yeah. And when you get lost in your dream world, you say, where is the damn presence gone?
Yes. Yes.
Where is it gone?
Yes, Didi.
The presence never goes anywhere. It is we who want to, it's not even we, it's the ego that wants to do things without the help of presence. You know, when kids are growing up, how they become rebellious, you know, they say, I will walk by myself.
Mm.
they tell their mom and dad, I will try and walk by myself. They are hardly 1 year old or 2 years old. They want to walk. They want to ride the bicycle by themselves. They want to do everything by themselves.
Yeah.
So in some sense, the ego is like that. I don't want any.
Then does the ego ever take the help of presence?
It does, no. It calls on Friday, no?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So when the ego starts getting weaker, then sanity becomes possible. At least few sane decisions start happening.
Wow. Yeah.
And those few sane decisions, then they kind of ripple into your life, and more sane decisions happen, and then there are more sane spaces. And slowly a time comes when you realize this ego is completely nuts. You know, you just can't listen to it at all.
Yeah.
You just can't listen to it.
Correct.
Everything he says is bullshit.
Yes.
So then the primary intention of your life becomes very crystallized. And this is very, very rare for this to happen, but I'm telling you this in any case. The primary intention of your life becomes, I want to be in this presence all the time, or as much as I can manage.
Yes.
This becomes the biggest priority of your life, the presence of God. Then the father and son don't want to be separated. And I and my father are one. Is recognized, is realized, and then you don't want to be separate from the Father. So at that point of your journey, you have only one problem. You know, previously we have hundreds of problems.
Yeah.
But when you reach this point of your journey, you have only one problem in life. Either I'm connected or I'm not connected. That's all.
Wow.
All other problems are irrelevant. Paisa kam hai, and your problem chal raha hai, this person hates me. It's all irrelevant. The only problem is, are you joined? Or have you again moved into the illusion of separation? So being connected becomes the prime motive of life. There is nothing else. So that is the highest stage of sadhana. Then you finally realize your purpose. That there was only one purpose. There was nothing else. Though the ego gave you all kinds of false purposes, none of them were true. Tell me what's coming up.
Tears are coming up listening to this.
Yeah, sometimes when the mind is going mad, we wonder where is the presence,
yes.
Why has it vanished? You know,
yes.
It happens.
Yeah.
But so what? It happens, but we must remember what we are looking for. The problem that happens is you forget what you're looking for, and then you start trying to solve the damn thing.
Yeah, correct.
It means what Christ was, you know, rising above the battlefield. Instead of rising above, we jump into the battlefield.
Yes. I want to fix the battlefield. That's what I will do.
Yeah. And invoking the presence is rising above the battlefield. It's immediately a declaration, I am not fighting.
Yes, it is.
Now that is the worst thing for the ego, to say, I am not fighting. Because the ego will say, no, let's fight, let's talk like this, let's send this mail, let's do that, let's manipulate, let's cheat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So for the ego to say, to understand or to acknowledge that we don't do anything, it's like very tricky. But
yeah.
That's the only way to rise above the battlefield, by saying, I'm not fighting. The ego might even call you a coward or a chicken or running away, not being responsible, all kinds of crap. We said, no, I want to bring the presence of God into this. And I will step out of the battlefield and let God solve the problem. And if that means that the office situation takes 2 months to solve, then that's what it takes. But if I get the intuitive feeling that I want to leave in 15 days, I will leave in 15 days. But I'm not going to struggle with this anymore. I'm just going to wait for the guidance.
Yes, did it.
The decision will not be made by the ego anymore. The decision will land intuitively whenever it has to land. That's all. I'm not going to try to find the answer. Because if you try to find the answer, again you will go in circles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Anything coming up?
You just, you know, a while ago you were saying that when the ego gets weak, that's exactly when the desire for wanting that space or that sanity rises. And that's exactly what I was feeling, you know, this week and yesterday, that or jaise wo space hilne lagta hai, you know, you get so involved with ego, automatically the desire rises for peace.
Yes. So those times are the times when you have to remember the basics. When you are in trouble, always go to the basics. This is not real. It does not mean anything. Whatever form of suffering is in front of me is just another illusion. And this illusion seems powerful only because I'm so invested in the damn thing. Right?
Yes.
Now let's say if you or I, you know, we are walking on the street and we lose $100. We just drop 100 rupees somewhere and it goes away. How long are you going to cry about it? Not even 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If there's 100 rupees, is then 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But the same thing for a poor man, if he loses $100. He might cry for the whole day.
Yes.
Now the event is the same, but the level of significance given to the event is very different. Correct?
Yes, it is.
The event is the same, $100 is lost.
Yeah.
But from one perspective, it means this is, doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
And from another perspective, my God, this means life and death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So, suffering is caused by what? The signification.
Yes, it is. Yes. True.
Now, somebody else might quit a job and it might mean nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
For somebody else, it might be life, actually.
Yeah.
But that's all the significance the ego has given to it. So when no significance is given to these events, they don't even register in your consciousness. You might even leave a job and not know anything about it. It's like entering a movie theater, you saw a movie and you came back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Do you cry when you're leaving the movie theater?
No.
Jo karna tha kar liya, nikal gaya, usme kya hua?
Yes.
So
yes.
The event in itself is nothing. That's what I keep trying to tell you guys. It's all nothing. It's all meaningless. But we give it meaning and then we fight with that thing.
Yeah.
Tell me what you see.
So it's very interesting because this is exactly what I was feeling yesterday when I saw Durga's dad. You know, I could see that how I am not affected in terms of, you know, the way she is affected. Just because he is not my dad and I don't have any significance associated with him. It was so easy to stand, like, separate and, you know, like a third person and support Durga. But like when my dad fell ill, you know, I was the first one to cry and emote and all that. So it's so simple. कि जिसको जहाँ significant दिया है, वहाँ पे तुमको suffering आना ही है.
And if you went to that to see the dead body and there is Durga sitting with you, what is the difference between you and Durga in that moment? The difference is only a bunch of stories, no?
Yeah, yes, it is.
She is telling a bunch of stories in her mind which you are not telling.
Yes, correct.
Right? She is telling stories in her mind about how the future will be.
Yeah.
How will I take care of myself? Who will fund me or whatever? Or she's telling stories about the past. I should have been a better daughter.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm feeling guilty about things I've said or done. Or I didn't get to say goodbye. So you're either telling stories of the past or telling stories of the future.
Very true.
While you were sitting with her, you were not telling any stories. Those stories were not occurring in your mind.
Yeah.
So no stories means no suffering. No stories means simply loving what is. This is what is. Oh, there seems to be somebody lying here.
Yes. Yeah.
Even the story, this is my father, is a story.
Mm.
What happens if you don't get that story in your mind?
That's the ultimate story to be cleared. This is my father, this is my husband. And this is my job. I could clear this out. I say eraser leke sab erase kar dete to acha hota.
No, I told you, you guys go to secondary problems fast. That's what I caught you on Sunday also.
Mm.
You remember what I caught you on Sunday?
Yeah, so I am, you know, this body and I am this identity.
I am Sharon, it's the only problem.
Yeah.
It's not this is my father, this is my mother. You can't erase them. You have to deal with you first. All these relations stand only because you stand. So if your personality starts evaporating and disappears, then automatically all the relations start to dissolve and disappear. But fundamentally, it's all based on one story. The me. If there's no me, there cannot be any father. Consciousness has no father. Consciousness has no relationships, actually. Oneness cannot really have a relationship. In order to have a relationship, it must tell stories. It has to.
Yeah.
Tell me what you got.
There was a beautiful line that I said. Yeah,
tell me, expand that line. Yeah.
So it's like a bunch of stories that I have. So whenever I'm seeing a person, my dad or Dean or even the office colleague, I don't see them fresh at all. Wo hota hi nahi. It's the past relating that I've had with them, because of which I kind of relate or talk in a certain way with them. There's just a bunch of stories about them. That's it.
And what would be there if there was no story?
As a state, experience hi nahi kiya jiri when. Yeah, but if it's a completely new person, there is no story.
Yeah.
But if there is
so
a person.
That's what happens. It's a new person.
So, I would like to, like, practically, I would like to, you know, start using this principle. So, that's why I'm asking. So, now, for example, at home, it's Dean. You know, I know Dean. I have interacted with him in the past. I have a bunch of stories that are there already. And then there are a bunch of stories that I'm expecting also from him. Aur inke bina to maine Dean ko kabhi dekha hi nahi hai.
So even though you say it's a bunch of stories, I mean bunch is fine, but there are 5 or 10 major ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like his husband.
Yeah.
You know? it belongs to me, you should be faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that, there are these 5-6 major ones.
Yes.
I need him in order to be secure. If these 5 main stories get knocked off, that image and that whole thing changes. But that is precisely what the ego is afraid of. What is the ego afraid of? That it will realize that this relationship is nothing. And it will realize that all relationships are nothing. Yeah. They are just my imagination and my creativity. There is fundamentally nothing in existence called husband. There is no such thing. It is just a word we have invented. You take these 8 steps around, 8 rounds around the fire, or do some mantras and chanting, or the priest says something, and now a new thing is created called husband. Or it is created called wife.
Yes.
Right. So, there, before the mantra started, there was no such thing as husband. And after the mantras are finished, suddenly your husband is.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to me that day. Yeah.
So how the hell did that thing just come? So you can easily realize it's just a concept that came. It's a new thought.
Yeah.
And then you took that thought seriously because you want to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You want there to be a husband. You want there to be someone, you know, who is responsible for you and who can't run away.
Yeah.
You want bondage.
Yes.
Right. Then you said, GD set me free, but you're the one who wants the bondage.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, it is. Ego wants bondage because there is a deep-rooted fear of being abandoned, rejected, and feeling lonely.
Correct. Now, either we become ready to face this. I want to face all this regardless of what happens. Then it's fine. And all these things, abandonment, loneliness, all these things, these are another bunch of stories. There's no such thing only as loneliness. Just as there's no such thing as husband, there's no such thing as loneliness also. I don't have any such idea of loneliness. Lonely is just another story you tell in a certain situation. You say, oh, I'm feeling so lonely. And there'll be many times you're in a similar situation where you won't tell the story, I'm lonely. Where you'll just go about your life, you know. So without the story of loneliness, what is loneliness?
It's just a concept.
It's just a concept. If something shows up in the body, some thoughts and some sensations, then we get also scared about it. Instead of just sitting with that stuff and seeing, oh, just some more lies from the past. We have all learned from our parents and we've learned from society, oh, we are supposed to have company. We should not be alone. Being alone is scary.
Yeah.
There should be people around you in your old age. People should take care of you. Yeah. Now, all these stories have been fed into us.
Yeah.
So we are like robots. We repeat those stories and then we try and, you know, make sure we operate according to them. There's no such thing as loneliness, and finally there's no such thing as death. How do you even know somebody died?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just seeing the body lying there.
Yeah, yeah.
True. How do you know he died? How do you know he just then leave the body and go?
Yeah.
So the spirit in us, the divine presence in us, does not buy into any stories.
Yeah.
The ego part of us buys into every bloody story that is possible. Because otherwise its imaginary world starts coming.
Yeah.
So all relationships are stories, all of them. Every relationship you have is a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without the story, you'll wonder what happened. But without the story, the relationships change in a way, they become very free. Freedom enters the relationship suddenly. And there is no bondage, there's no clinging, there's no jealousy, there's nothing like that. And people have the freedom to do what they want, including leaving you on one day's notice. You know? If somebody says, oh, I'm leaving you, okay, you say bye. Yeah, why would you hold somebody?
Yeah.
Unless again you have stories about security and about it.
Yes, yes.
Tell me what you think.
It's all kind of falling in place, you know, whatever you're saying. It's almost that line that you had told me last week also. God's will for me is perfect happiness, but I create sadness out of my stories and, you know, the significance that I'm giving to my stories.
Yeah. Whenever people get angry with me, which keeps happening, why they get angry? Because I've hit some story of theirs which they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
It always be something there about career, or GD is against my career. I'm not against your career.
Yeah.
But GD is against my relationship. I'm not even against your relationship. But GD is against money, chasing money. I'm not against you doing anything. But I will tell you that it's a story. You're chasing nothing except your own story. When you chase money, you're chasing your story. When you chase a person, again, you're chasing your stories. Your own story is creating significance. Your own story is telling you this thing is very valuable. This person or this job or this object is very valuable. Let's chase it. Let's find it. Let's capture it forever. That's the story you're telling. Without the story, the object or the situation or the person may be neutral. It may have no value at all.
Oof. Yes, it is.
Then you realize, shit, I got nothing in my hand.
Yeah.
After 40, 50 years of chasing, I got nothing. And that's the misery of the older people. Somewhere they realize they got nothing. So then they come downwards. Now they start clinging to their sons, daughters and granddaughters and all kinds of stuff in the past. They go into more suffering. You try to cling over there.
Yes, it is.
Otherwise, what will you chase? If you have no story, what are you going to chase in this world? There is nothing to chase here. There is nothing to accomplish. The only thing worthy of accomplishment is recognition of true nature while you are in a body. That's the only function, only purpose. So Christ keeps saying and acting again and again, the only function of the teacher of God is to accept the atonement for himself. He doesn't even say you have to teach others.
Yeah.
He says the only thing is you take it, you take it, boss, you take it, don't worry about anybody else. Because for too many people, even that becomes a distraction. Just a couple of days ago, one of my friends is a very big international teacher now.
Okay.
And he was so messed up in just running here, running there, doing 4 workshops a month, doing corporate workshops. And, and he asked me, Jiri, how you don't get caught in all that?
Yeah.
I don't see any significance in that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But that guy is minting money. He's made a few crores, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also told me that if you enter this, you'll make more money than me. I said, I know I'll make more money. I know the kind of talent that is there within me.
Yeah.
But what would I do with that money? I don't want the S-class Benz or whatever.
That don't make sense. Yes, it is.
What would you do with that? I anyway eat the best food. I anyway live in the best houses.
Yeah.
You know, they have the best gadgets. What do you do with the money? And if I have to make the money, what is the use of God's presence in my life? If God gives me a house, that is fun, no?
Yes, of course, yes.
If God sends me food from strange places, that is it, right?
Yes. Wow.
If God sends me clients out of nowhere from all over the world, that is the joy.
Yes.
Yeah. If I struggle and do it, what's the fun in that? There's no joy there. So that's what I told my friend. I said, I do nothing. I just live in God's presence. And whatever He wants to give me, He'll give.
Oh, goosebumps. And that's exactly what. Yes, very good.
Go on.
That's exactly what attracts me to you. You know, the simplicity that I see in you as a teacher, it is, I'm telling you, I think I'm telling you this like second time, but it is really, really very attractive. You know, I have seen teachers who are all over the place and, you know, kind of doing things, but when I see you, I see lots of simplicity. That's damn attractive.
So simplicity is an aspect of your true nature. I always tell people whenever they are attracted to me is that they are always attracted to themselves.
Yeah.
They are attracted or yearning for that simplicity within themselves which is currently covered up. You understand?
Yes, Didi. Yeah.
The same simplicity is you and you also the same simplicity, but it's covered up by the ego crap.
Yes.
When the ego crap moves out of the way, you find the same simplicity.
Yes.
The more Amit has stayed around me, the more he has found his own simplicity.
Yeah, I sense that in Amit too. It's almost like a snippet in Amit also.
It comes. You just have to keep walking and keep your intention clear. You know, what is this for? What am I really wanting?
Yes, it is. Yes.
The only conflict on this path is split intentions and split goals.
Yes.
If job and money and status and position become important, they will take over your thought process. How hard is that to understand?
Yes.
And when you see them, you know, like, it's okay. It's just one of the events that is occurring. It's fine. Let's not give that so much significance. So when that happens, again, the thoughts reduce.
Yeah.
Because you realize it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that has any meaning is, are you connected or not? Are you living with the presence of Christ? Are you living with the divine presence or not? Nothing else matters. Everything else is a waste of time. If all your bosses and all your colleagues, you know, they put you, they give you a throne and they give you a gold watch and they elevate you and put you on the bulletin board, and it still won't mean anything. It can't. Those are empty, empty gifts of the ego for the ego. They mean nothing.
Wow.
And if you're sitting in Christ's presence and there's nobody even to recognize you or congratulate you, it will not matter. Because you're sitting in the presence of the divine. And that's enough. Nothing else is needed. So that's the paradox, that the world can give you 100 things, they're all empty. In the end, you're still running around searching for more. But if we can get this one thing, which is the divine presence, you don't need anything from the world. The world's emptiness is exposed immediately. It's called chasing shadows.
Yeah.
So all your conflict of the last few days about the office and the quitting and 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, he's tired and he's fighting with shadows.
Yeah.
Don't fight with the shadows. Be with the presence. Invoke the presence wherever you are, whatever is happening. Stay with the presence. Stay in awareness. And let things move.
Very, yes.
Goldsmith used to use this word called bring God into the playing field.
Yeah.
He used to say it like, you know, you're playing a match, you're playing a football match or anything. Don't play by yourself.
Yeah.
He said, bring God into the playing field. And once you sense the presence of God with you, then you just sit quietly, let Him play for you. So basically, I think that is the way I live my life. I let God live my life. And more, I think we are all learning that same thing, to get out of the way, get out of the way. Don't fight, don't struggle. Don't elevate the ego in any way. Just bring God into the playing field and let Him play for you. And we just become the witness. Oh, this is happening. Oh, God's doing this now. Oh, God wants me to have a new house. Or God doesn't want me to have a new house right now. Whatever God wants me to have. So the key here is giving up the ego's will. Because the ego's will and God's will are often in conflict. In fact, always in conflict. Almost always in conflict. Because the ego wants the empty stuff of the world. And the spirit is always telling you, I dump it, there's nothing there. I'll give you what you need, don't worry about all that. काफी enough?
नहीं I don't want to leave.
You think I'm like a tap, you know, you just open it and the tap keeps like pouring into.
Yes, I was just going to tell you that in the last 5 minutes I could just feel this amazing sense of something is just showering. I'm not able to control my tears, but just something I'm just feeling, like you're showering me with simplicity. I'm just feeling like that. I don't know if that's the word, but
there's nothing to do with anything. It's so easy, this path. That is the simple thing which always seems hard. There's really nothing for us to do. We just have to live in the presence. And be the presence.
Yes,
let the presence do everything. That's the only choice.
Yes.
The one choice Christ calls, the one choice you have to make. How tough can that be? And yet, because of old habits and patterns and whatever, it sometimes seems hard, no problem. Sometimes you forget, no problem. Come back as soon as you can. Come back, give up the war. Bring the big boss on the playing field and tell him to play.
Yes.
Tell him, I don't know how to play this game. I don't even want to play this now. I will take your leave.
There is one small thing. I have always believed that, you know, whatever intention I tell in your presence kind of magnifies. And I would really like to state this intention that every day, every moment, I would like to remember the presence and not get caught up in the ego stuff.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Yes, my intention has reached where it has to reach. Okay, all the best. Stay in touch.
Yes, Teddy, thank you.
Okay,
so much.
Yes, Teddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.